morning. Welcome home. Is it? Yeah, okay, good. Hey, we just want to welcome Steve and Kelly Marks, missionaries from our church, and to Thailand, and they're with us, and they've been stateside for how long? About a year? Has it been about a year? They've been stateside, and they're actually up at, what is Randy's church now called? Pocono Lake Bible Church with Randy Gomer and Deb, who are friends of ours, and came from our little place, this area. And so we're just so thankful to have them here with us today. He's going to share with us the ministry and things that are happening in the ministry. And there is a love offering, and you have a table out there. I think the coffee isn't free, right? Am I correct on that? For a donation? Okay. And we also want you to, you know, bless them also. So make sure that there's a love offering basket out there. Make sure that you put into that to bless them also. We've had some interesting opportunities. Some of you know that there's a local family in the area that had a fire. And Sandy is collecting gift cards for them to help them get back on their feet. They lost everything, including their cats and, you know, their pets and things like that. So if you have those, you can place those in Sandy Hendricks's mailbox, or you can give them to me, and I'll make sure that they get them. It's interesting. The family has some ties. Their son is in the fire company years ago, so I know is their son, Thomas. So it's or Keith, I mean. So if you would be praying for this family, we would really appreciate it. If you can do anything, that would be great. Next picture, please. This is a congratulations. You know Nick and Kathy Borio? Well, they have a little boy, Ezra Roger, and that he came on Monday. So praising the Lord for them and their blessings. And also I have a shout-out congratulation to the Sharos over there. They had their daughter had a little boy, right? Right. So that happened this week. It's a lot of new births, praising the Lord. We are running a new members class and baptism class on Sunday mornings for the next few weeks. If you're interested in any of those things, please give it. Join us at 9 o'clock. You don't have to have started with us right off the bat. You can come in and join us at any time. Would like you to spread the word. If you would like to come in and be a part of that, we would just look forward to that. So we had a good start this morning. I'd just like to keep others in prayer. We have some needs as we open up our missionary housing, which is upstairs in the apartments. We have some needs. We have some repair needs that need to be done by the end of May so that we can have you, if you are able, go in and help us with cleaning or with laundering all the linens, whether it's the towels or the beddings and things like that, to launder those and change those. If you are able to do any of those tasks, there's a sign-up sheet back here where the tracts are. So I want to encourage you to go back there and sign up for that. Continue to pray for the Palisades School District area and the school board. We have a prayer meeting that meets Wednesday nights at the flagpole at 6:30. Communion is next Sunday, June 1st. Next Sunday's Memorial Day, right? Yeah, okay, so it's in 2 weeks. All right, communion will be June 1st. Elders and deacons will be meeting June 1st, not next week. The church is being used for preschool graduation on the evening of Friday, June 6th. And also, we are having fellowship lunch after service today, so please join us for that. Celebrate Recovery, if you've ever heard of this ministry. Okay, this is a ministry that helps those with addiction and recovery. We have a group of people that are interested in starting that program, and so we are getting it ready. So if you are interested in that or wanting to be a part of that in some way, please see Mike Kaiser or Matt Paul for details and let them know. All right. If you would stand with me, we're going to read scripture together. Do you know, I have last week's message up here. I'm sitting here going, it's funny, Steve has the same notes I have. Oh, wait a minute. They're my notes. I'm not preaching today. Oh. Psalm 67 is a great psalm about shining our light out to the nations. And this is how it goes. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your ways
may be known on earth.
Your salvation let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth.
Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And then all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let's worship together.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise. Of your mighty love.
has done. Isaiah 12, 4.
Time of God sightings. What we do every month is we try to have a little bit of testimony time. And we'd like you to share how God has been answering prayer, how you have seen him working in your hearts and lives. I have a few updates for you. Lizzie had come home about 2 weeks ago from the hospital, but we just got word this morning that Joanne had to take her back to St. Luke's Anderson for a problem that she was having. So be praying for Lizzie this morning. Also, some other prayer requests. I got a call last night. Charlotte's in the hospital in Doylestown. She has a very bad bout of diverticulitis, if you would be praying for her. And hopefully we'll hear from her sometime today that she's doing okay. So what are your God sightings? Like Adam and Emma's Hendrick's wedding last week, that was a God sighting that Zach sent me. Zach was and his family were able to help with that. This is Kyle Hendricks mining for gold so that we can build our new addition. Actually, what he was doing was he was getting rid of the rodents under the crawl space in my house. So I couldn't help it. And I really wanted to tease him today, and he's not here. Can you believe that? Anyway, when Nelson was with us a few Sundays ago, we did 800 boxes. And what was a big God sighting is you see some of these people here. There were five people from Grief Share that were with us during that time. And that was a real answer to prayer. I was really glad to see that. So what are your God sightings? What are some things that God has been doing? And do you have any that you would like to share this morning with us as a church? Anybody? Anybody? Thank you for not leaving me hanging. Thank you, Lulu.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think I shared very briefly about a work that we do in Ethiopia helping orphans since 2008. And Barb and I had been there many times, but not until we hadn't been there for 10 years. And the kids are growing up, they're still there, everything's happening, John's involved in it too. And the blessing
think you're telling us the whole church is invited and you're paying early to go with you.
That, they would probably love that.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Out of the blue, on Mother's Day, or no, it was the, mother, the week before Mother's Day, my brother-in-law, who's really not involved in churches at all, or in any way, shape, or form, he says, I'll go to Ethiopia with you.
Praise the Lord.
So I felt like that was the Lord. Because I had been praying a lot for a while now. It was the will for me to go again. And it's a big trip, and it's a lot involved. And so I hadn't made any decisions. And then when he said, I said, well, I think maybe that's the Lord telling me we can go, I can go. So I was very thankful for that. And I love prayer, of course. We even haven't even made the reservation yet, but we're going to be making them for the next 10 days. So it'll be in September. So anyway, I'm very thankful and I'm very excited, and I love the church to share that with me.
We'll be praying. Yes.
You know, just I don't know what God's going to do, but
okay.
Wait to see. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? What's God doing over here, Dave? I care.
One of the God sightings is this lady here, but this is another one. 2 weeks ago, John and the boys, his two boys and I, decided Saturday afternoon they were jumping up and down and about to wreck my house. So he said, let's go bowling. So we went to Quaker Town and went bowling. Well, it got to be about 5:15 when we ended. On the way back, coming up Route 212, all of a sudden we heard a bump, bump, bump. And so we got out, and it was a flat tire in the front right passenger side. So we didn't know what to do, and we were right on the side of the road. We wanted to find a place that was a little safer to figure out what to do. So we drove up a little bit further, and there was this wide driveway. We drove in there, and standing about 200 feet away was the farmer who owns this farm and a couple of his buddies. And he came over. I thought he was going to tell us to get lost, but instead he said, can I help you? And I told him what we'd done, and he said, hey, I've got some air. So we drove up to the barn, and he filled the tire up with air. And in the meantime, we were trying to find a place to get the tire fixed or get a new tire. Well, there was one place in Quakertown that was open. It was Pep Boys. So we went there, and of course by this time the kids are getting all hungry and out of shape. So right now, right next to that was an A&W with a playground. So while the car was being, we got two new tires, which I needed anyway. While that was being done, they were playing. And all along, we prayed each step of the way, and God provided. And it could have been a mess. Turned out to be an amazing gift.
Amen. Thanks, Dave. And if you haven't met Joyce yet, Dave and Joyce are engaged. And so that is a wonderful thing. So, yeah. Just anybody else? Anybody else? Right here.
As all of you know, I had a little fall a while ago and broke my wrist, but it's in any situation that's not the greatest. Other good things happen. And my daughter and I have always been close, but many of you know when your children grow up, they're busy. Sometimes you feel like you need an appointment to see them. But I've been staying with my daughter and family, and it's been great. She's been absolutely wonderful. And I just have to thank my wonderful church family, all the ladies from the Bible study, other friends. It's just a wonderful, wonderful family. Reached out with all sorts of cards and great messages, flowers. And it's something, you know you're thankful, but it just warms your heart. And I can't say enough about how great it is to have a church family, such a caring one. Been great. And actually, Tracy and Karen came up. Tracy mowed my whole backyard.
Hey, thank you for that.
Karen backed me But and dear Robin and Audrey have come to visit. It's great.
Great.
It is. Can't say enough.
Thanks.
The Lord does help us.
Anybody else?
Pastor?
Yes.
I just want to touch on the Hendricks wedding a little bit. First of all, it was a wonderful event. And second of all, I just have to, Carter was, that was about what, Tom? Almost 200 people there, right? And Carter was basically my sole helper for catering a wedding of 200 people. And he really did a great job. And, you know, landing up on the team, Carter doing that, that does a parent's heart really, really good. And it was a wonderful wedding, and we're lucky to have, I'll pick on Sandy and I'll continue to do so, believe me. But we're blessed to have that family in this church, and it was a great night, and it was just really special. And for me, like I said, having a parent being able to do that, and he did a great job. He wasn't just like tagging along. He worked hard. I appreciate that, Tom. Thank you, because that was a real blessing for me.
Thank you, Zach.
Else? Well, it's good to, it's good. Continue to pray for, I have a picture up here of National Day of Prayer. The New Jersey church friends and us met down on New Life Island, down on the river, and we prayed. And as we were closing, I had several people from the other churches say to us, how do we get more people here? I don't know. It was such a great event. It was such a blessed time of worship, and our worship team did a great job, and they expressed that to us. And so we're just thankful that God continues to work and keeps working. So let's continue to keep watching for God. Keep watching for answers to prayer. Keep watching for his working in our lives and in our community. And just keep saying, Lord, here I am. Use me. So let me lead us in a quick word of prayer, and then we'll continue our worship, shall we? Our gracious Father, blessed are you. You are the rock. You are our strength. You are our tower. You are our salvation. And we thank you for Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer and friend. And Father, we just are so thankful that we are called from darkness into light through what Jesus did for us on the cross. And even as we celebrate the resurrection at Easter time, it's resurrection day every day for our lives. As the Bible tells us that we are raised with Christ. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to use us as a church. Help us to be the salt and light that we need to be in our community. Father, we pray that you would bless our day of worship today. Thank you that our missionaries, the Marks, are here. We pray for the working in Thailand, in Myanmar, across the border, in the whole area of Asia. There is so much going on there. There are so many things happening. We just pray, Lord, that the gospel continues to move in hearts and lives. I thank you, Father, for the ministries coming here this summer through CEF, Children's Bible Clubs, and Vacation Bible School. We pray, Lord, that you would get the word out and allow us to be a great testimony and outreach into our community. And Father, we pray for the family that has lost their home and so many of their precious possessions. But Father, we are so grateful that you spared lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with them, certainly during this time, and help us to be a blessing to them. Father, we pray that you would bless us as we continue to worship you. Thank you that we are here today, that we can lay ourselves before you, that we can offer ourselves up to you. Yes, we love you with all our hearts. We love you with all our soul and all our strength and all our might. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Please stand.
Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine.
Since we've done the contemporary version of the doxology. So if you would have a seat, and the praise team will do the first verse and chorus, and then when it's time for you to sing, then please, by all means, stand at that point.
Praise God from all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father,
stand and join us. Seated, and children are dismissed for children's church.
If you need it. This is a copy of Seeds for Harvest, which is Kelly and Steve's prayer sheet. If you need this and you don't have this, I'm sure you can sign up out here and be on that and learn more about their ministry. We're just so glad to have you here. So come on up and share with us. And Steve's going to share with us through the rest of the service this morning. Come on.
I woke up with a bit of a toothache this morning and been rubbing Amosol on it. So if I drool, that's why. And just be glad you're not in the spittle seats. let me open up with a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you. Thank you for bringing me and my family back to our home church, really. It's where you worked on our hearts through Pastor Corbin's messages and before that, Pastor Haynes. And Lord, all these things happen in time and in the right season. And so I just thank you. Thank you for this congregation that has been part of this ministry for so long. And Lord, to you be the glory. Help me to get out of the way today so that people can hear what it is you want them to hear. And to God be the glory. Amen. So we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes today. That's kind of an odd verse, but if you open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I guess I don't need to stand in front of this thing because I got it here.
No, you can do whatever you want.
Okay. Can you hear me okay without that? Okay. If you would stand for the reading of God's word, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to loss, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. It's the reading of God's word. Sit back down. Yeah, here's my clicker. Oh, it's already on. I love coming back here. It's like coming home again. You know, this church, this is our missionary verse. It says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. These are the words of Jesus. And you guys may not realize, but you planted seeds years ago. You planted seeds in our heart, in our family's hearts. And I should introduce them real quick for people that may not know them, because I see a few new faces here, which is great. If you guys want to stand up. This is Kelly, my wife, and Jose, my son, one of four, and Anna, my daughter. And so you sit back down. I just want to introduce you. Yeah, there's a lot going on. You know, Jose's entering high school next year. Anna's going to Liberty in Virginia. And so the family, things move on with time, and there's a season for everything. But you planted seeds here years ago. And that little missionary room up there that Pastor was talking about, that was such a blessing to us, as once we sold our house, we were kind of left homeless at that point as we're getting ready to launch into the mission field. And that really was a blessing to us. It gave us a place to land for a while and kind of get things together and draw near to God. And so it wasn't just the missionary housing. And more than that, it was your hearts behind it, just your love and support this whole journey. Really, it's been a life journey. But I wanted you to know that what a big, important part of this mission you guys are, every single one of you. Great to see you again. I love seeing faces back again, and it's been too long. So if you're not familiar with the mission that God sent us on, it was way up in the northern part of Thailand, in a little town called Chiang Rai. And that's right at the corner of Myanmar and Laos. And so there's Myanmar, Laos, and then Chiang Rai province goes right up to the Mekong River, where the rivers join. And so that's where God planted us, and it was an amazing journey. But through all the years we spent there, the one thing that stuck in my mind and the one thing that God really taught me was that the mission is really about the people. It's never about a project. You know, God's church is always about the people. It's not about a building. We need buildings to be able to worship together in and to praise God, especially in a colder climate. But it's not about that. It's about the people. When we first moved to Thailand, there was one person that God brought across my path, and his name's Pastor Goh. And he's been here before. I don't know if some of you may have met him. He is a Mian pastor, which is a minority tribal group within northern Thailand. So in Thailand, there's the Thai people, but then there's all these minority groups of what they call the Hill Tribe people that moved in from different areas in Laos and China and Myanmar. And he really was, God brought him across my path, and that kind of introduced me to other people as I was going through language school. Kelly was teaching at Chiang Rai International Christian School. The kids were attending there. And so it just, God put us in that place for a reason. And I didn't really understand the reason at first. We went there, didn't know, okay, God, we're learning language. Now what? You know, everybody wanted to know, what are you going to do when you get there? What's your mission going to be? What are you going to do? So I don't know. You know, we're going to go there because God told us to go there. And we'll see. We'll see where God's working. And that turned out to be the right approach because he brought this wonderful pastor across my path. And that is Ajahn Goh. So I'm going to talk about the people because I want you to get to know the people. In the process, there are projects that take place, but it's really about the people. So Pastor Goh, he grew up in a Mian village, a very impoverished Mian village. His father was the shaman in the village, which is the local witch doctor, basically. He was highly respected within the village, but he had multiple wives, and he got in the outs with Pastor Goh's mother and basically disowned them. So he ended up being raised in an orphanage in Chiang Rai. His father since passed away, never came to know the Lord, as much as Pastor Goh kept praying for him. But his mother is just an amazing Christian woman. And she raised him up with the love of Jesus. But this is an area with very few Christians. So he started a church in his home village. That grew. The local people that, Methodist group in northern Thailand, decided they wanted to plant one of their own pastors in there. And so he started another church plant in his village called Padua. And so this was back in 2024. And there was just a handful of people. There were like six people in the church. And he started a youth ministry there. And he started working with a lot of these kids that only have, they may not be living with their parent at all. Usually the husband goes off. He's working in another country a lot of times, meets another woman. So then they end up with broken families. And then the children are often raised by a relative, may not even be a parent. And so they're not, it's just really a difficult situation in the village. But Pastor Goh comes alongside him, and he's been a wonderful youth pastor as well as a leader in this new church plant. This was a church. The building was there in Padua. It was built by some other missionary years ago, but it was empty. It was never being used. It was starting to fall apart. So this, like I said, the church is the people. It's not the building. There are a lot of empty buildings that they call churches in Thailand, and they're not reaching out. But this one's come alive, and I'll show you. I'll give you an update from last March when Anna and I were there. But this is back in 2024. And I knew Goh was the person that God, in class? Do you remember they were talking about it in that special person? That
person of peace.
Person of peace, yeah. And when we went through the perspectives class before we left, they said, you know, God's going to bring a person of peace along your path that you can come alongside of. And I said, well, you know, so before we left, I kept praying for that. And Goh was it. He's just got this great smile. He's always welcoming. We went to this one village way up in Paolung village, up in the mountains. And to get there, you have to go through these roads that are basically not really roads. They're just mud paths. And it rained, and we got stuck coming back. And I'm thinking, we're going to be here for weeks because there's nobody up here, you know. And wouldn't you know it, somebody came along after we got stuck, and they had a rope with them, and they pulled us out. But it was such a great experience because I got to know Goh. I got to see his heart. I got to see the way he reached and loved on the people in Paolung. And I said, this is a man. This is a man that you're, this person of peace that you had in store for me. We also have, we're part of a team there with Christian Veterinary Missions, and there's another veterinarian, her name is Hannah, that just landed. They just got their, they're in language study now. But back in 2024, they came and they visited, and go. Of course, I had to introduce them to go, and we had to take them all the neat places and show them all the different ministries that are going on. And we built friendships and relationships back in 2024. Another ministry that God brought across our path. Again, this is all connected through Go and then Friends of Go's. And then this led me on to meet Pastor Ron, which he's been here as well. Both Go and Ron have been in the country. We finally got Go into the country. I didn't think would ever happen. It's hard to get a visa. But Ron, he grew up in California, so a little bit easier. He was part of the Jesus movement way back when. And he, after the Vietnam War, he served in the Vietnam War in Laos. After that war, he God worked on him. He was wealthy. He had like five different restaurants that he was running. And he gave it all up to come to Thailand when he was, I don't know, in his 20s. He was very young. And God just, he didn't have a nickel in his pocket at that point. He gave it all away. And he started, God just led him to these children's ministries that are just remarkable. And there's now it's grown into five different children's homes under this, it's called Bon Emmanuel. Bon means home in Thai. And it's just been amazing. God has done incredible things through this ministry. And you bring, there's about 150 children's between the five different homes now. Some of them are orphans. Some of them may just come from a single parent that's impoverished, but these children now can get an education, they can go to school, they are loved in a Christian home, and they're raised up in a Christian environment. So this was back in 2022, Kelly and I and the kids helped out with a Christmas thing? Like a party that they had, and they had big blow-up balloon slides and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun, and we just had a blast. But part of one of those homes is a Mian home. Go is Mian. I was introduced to Artisan, which is and his wife Mint, and one of the homes is a Mian home. And one of the projects that we started, this was back in 2024 as well. Was a Bible teaching center and also a dining hall for the kids so they could eat together. They didn't have one place large enough for all the kids so they could share a meal together. So it's got it's sort of a multi-use building. We can't afford to just have a building that's used once a week. So it's used all the time. And we also got introduced to our friend Luca and Gon. So Pastor Luca is an Aka pastor, another tribal pastor. And they have a children's home as well. It's called Thai Aka Ministry Foundation. And to help support that, we started an integrated duck project where the ducks are raised over the water. They poop in the water. The fish eat the poop and the algae. And then we put them into the rice fields. And they poop in the rice fields and they so they can grow organic rice. And the ducks eat the bugs and the insects. So it's such a simple thing. But it builds relationships. So it's not about the project, it's about the relationship. And Luke and God have been such a blessing to our family, and we just love them dearly. And he is constantly baptizing people in the name of Jesus within the Aka tribe, another tribal group. Another tribal group is called the Shan, and a pastor we were introduced to is Pastor Sang, and he's been working with the Shan church, and they've and particularly, there's a lot of Shan in Myanmar, right across the border. And they were in dire need of medical missions. When COVID hit, everything fell apart. Because not only do they have the war over there, but COVID shut the border. So then the people that were in this village would work in Thailand. They'd cross the border to work in the tea fields. They'd go there for medical care. They basically, there's nothing on the Burmese side. There's nothing but jungle. So, and this is a very impoverished area. So when that border closed because of COVID, people started starving. And then we got very involved with the Shan Church in trying to help provide aid to those people.
And that became a medical mission as time went on, as we got to know people. And one of those people is Bida. He's a medic. He's a Sean medic. Still praying for him that he'll come to know Jesus. But he just loves to help the people and serve the people, and he's a wonderful medic. They don't have any doctors over there, but he's a well-trained medic. Through working with the pastors and through the church, the Sean Church, we've been able to actually have an impact on this little village called Loikawan on the Burmese side of the Thai border. So those are kind of the, and you'll see the dates. You know, this is 2023. You also notice that other person in there is Chalom. There's Pastor Sang, and there's Ron next to me around that sign. So again, this is Bon Emmanuel Ministries, a children's home ministry, is involved in medical missions in Burma. Everything, God just ties it all together. It's like he's weaving a perfect tapestry when you look back at it and you realize what he's done. So through that also, working with the people in Myanmar, we got to know the people at Free Burma Rangers, which is it's actually an American group that was founded and serves people in war-torn countries, in Libya, in Burma particularly. That's where it started. And so the first time I went there, I was teaching them how to take care of horses. I'm a veterinarian by trade. And, you know, how do you take care of the horses and mules when you have a problem? You're like, why? Who cares? You know, how does that ministry work? Well, it's ministry work because it's building relationships with people like Gagalu. Gagalu, they call him Short Fingers because he had his fingers blown off by a bomb. He can use his two fingers on the one hand to drop syringes and take care of the horses, and he's the main guy that takes care of the horses and mules. And they use these animals to bring food and medicine into the Jungle School of Medicine in Katuliai, which is a part of Karen State in Burma. So again, it's about meeting these people, building relationship, I'll never forget how quickly God can mend things and build things together, especially in dark places. God's light shines the brightest in dark places. So that brings us up to 2025. I can't believe it's 2025. I don't know where time goes. You know, I've got a little grayer. Goes put a little more weight on. It's a picture. I don't know. But we went there. I was blessed to go with my daughter Anna just recently in March to touch base with ministry partners. We continue to support certain projects through Seeds of the Harvest. Thanks to the generosity of people that have given to our Child Development Fund and Relief Fund. But it was great to get there. We're always exhausted by the time we get there. I won't get into the details. It was quite a traumatic thing getting there this time. But I just want to give you an update on some of these people because the mission goes on. You know, God buries his workers, but his work continues. Hannah and Jordan are now full-time missionaries in Thailand. They're part of our team with Pete and Mary and Rachel and Helmfried and just this team that God is starting to put together. And they're currently in language school. They're getting used to Thailand. They're getting used to the heat. They're getting used to not having, you know, a dishwasher. They're getting used to those things that were so, and our hot water in your kitchen. You know, those are things that we kind of take for granted. Most of the world doesn't have it. Anyway, they're doing great. And it was a blessing just to be there in 2025 and get to spend some time with them and encourage them in their walk that God has led them on. Hannah is a veterinarian, like I said. So she's looking to work with Luke and Gon. And Jordan is, he comes from a, sort of a business background. And so he's waiting to see how God's going to use him. But he will. He'll use him. Because they've taken that first step, and I'm so proud of them that they've followed through. When we were there before, they were just coming to visit short term. Now they're there full time. This is remember Bida and Pastor Sang, the Sean pastor and the Sean medic. We had a meeting with them in 2024 in March of this year, we got talking a lot about the need for a TB isolation ward. In Loikawan, they have a hospital. It's very primitive in some ways, but they do the best they can with what they have. But the problem is TB has been increasing, and right now they've got five different tuberculosis patients that they're trying to treat, and you can't just put them in the hospital with the other people because it'll spread. And so we're looking at building a TB isolation ward, and BDOT did a great job designing it and coming up with cost estimates. So we've been working together with them through the Child Development Fund, which is part of Seeds for the Harvest, to help with that. So we had a big meeting with that, and that was just great to get together. We also went and touched base with Luca and Gon, our friends Luca and Gon, had a great meal. We had duck eggs, we had fish. All this stuff came from the project. And just enjoyed some fellowship time together. You'll see Pastor Goes there. These ministries interconnect. So that's with the Thai Aka Ministry Foundation and the Integrated Duck Project. So it was good to touch base with them. The ducks are still there. They've eaten some of the ducks. They've gotten new ducks. And the kids just love it. They just enjoy the taking care of them as well. The building that you saw earlier at the Meehan Ministry Home, Children's Home, is finished and it's being used now. So it was exciting to see that project come to fruition. And it was being used as a Bible training center. That was their first communion they had in the building. And it's just turned out to be a really nice building. You wouldn't believe we built this building for about $30,000. It's got bathrooms, it's got a kitchen in it, it's got all kinds of stuff. The dollar goes a long way in Thailand. And then Anna spent some time at school and getting reconnected with her friends there. We went to a volleyball game, did a few things in March. But then we also went over to the Chiang Mai, which is nearby, and we did some more training with Free Burma Rangers and the Jungle School of Medicine in Kat Duliai. And so Anna was assisting me with the, we taught them how to do dog castrations because there's a lot of rabies problems and stray dogs in the villages around the Jungle School of Medicine. So that's what we were teaching that time. And so the ministry continues. Even though we're here, when we go back, we're staying in touch. And, I get messages every day practically from people in Burma and Thailand. So it's very hard to tell you everything that God is doing there. I did want to show you what's happened with this little church plant that had five people, and Pastor Goh's been mentoring. This is their Christmas service, and you can see it's grown to be a few more than just five people. And God's not about the numbers, but He is about reaching people with hope, with the love of Christ. And so my hat's off to what God has done through this young man. So what's next? Well, as we read, for everything there is a season, a time and a purpose under heaven. That God has been teaching us to wait for His timing. We have three more sons in addition to Jose. And now we've got three grandchildren, one that's due to be born next month. So we're excited about that. Chris and Emily are having a son. They've already got a beautiful daughter, our granddaughter. And then Keith and Taylor have a beautiful daughter as well. So the family continues, and it grows. It grows through generations, and God works through generations. Kelly and I have been praying about it, and we've decided that we're going to stay here in the U.S. till Jose graduates high school, and then we're going to go back to Thailand in October of 2029 and live there for most of the year, but then come back here too to stay in touch with our kids and our grandkids and our family and our church and the people that help support us. My friend Ron, Pastor Ron, is getting up there. He's 83 now. I think we've been praying a lot about what's going to happen. How does this pass on? So Kelly and I are looking to serve with the Bon Emmanuel Children's Ministries and the Children's Homes, which they do a lot more. I mean, it's in and of itself is enough just caring and loving on these children and raising them with the love of Christ. these children's homes also, each of these homes is led by a couple, a strong Christian couple, which are the like house parents. But then they have outreaches too within, not just in Thailand, but in Vietnam, in Myanmar, and throughout Southeast Asia. And so it's an exciting ministry to be part of, and God has really put it on our heart to be part of that when we go back. So that's kind of where it's heading. But for everything, there's a season. And Lord willing, we'll head back in October of 2029. So these things happen through time, and God works through time, and everything is in his season. So I think as you get older, you start to realize that. You know, we like to control things, don't we? There is a time and a season for everything. So what can you do? I often sat in where you're sitting, and I would listen to a missionary talk, and I'd say, oh, that's nice. What do I do? You know? Well, you're already doing a lot just by being part of this church body and the love and support that you guys have given us through the years. But what else can you do? You can drink coffee. We've got out there the way that, you know, the village that Pastor Go is great. This church plant is in. It's very poor. It's extremely impoverished. They can't really pay a pastor, so he does sort of a tent making ministry in that he has coffee on his farm and he grows that and he roasts it himself, and now he's shipping it to the U.S. So we're getting it shipped here as often as we can sell it, basically, and then that helps support his ministry work in Thailand. And so it comes to our house in a, what was that?
DHL
truck. And we got our first shipment just a month ago. And we're just loaded with coffee right now. Now I paid for it. Now I got to sell it. And so there are bags out there. You're welcome to grab a bag for find out more about the ministry. And there's also a sign-up sheet, too, so you can get our newsletter. Because I can't stand up here and whatever time I have and tell you everything about what's going on. It's something that happens over years, and so that we send every other month a newsletter out with an update too of what's going on with the Seeds for the Harvest ministry. So drink coffee, and that supports Pastor Go's church plant in Padua. What else can you do? Well, we want to build this TB isolation ward. They do have, God has blessed it in that they've got 450,000 baht together, which sounds like a whole lot of money, but it's in U.S. dollars, it's not as much, but that was Mercy Medical from Canada has put toward the project, and we're looking to raise another 300,000 baht, which is $9,000, and then we'll have all the funds raised to be able to build this isolation ward. So if you want to give, you can take a picture of this so you know where to go, but you can give by phone if that's easier, or you just go online and give to the this special project. It's called Refugee and Child Development Project. It's part of Seeds for the Harvest through Christian Veterinary Mission. So it is a tax-deductible donation. If God's moving your heart to want to give toward this tuberculosis ward, you're welcome to do so. But I got tied up in tuberculosis. This is a long story, but basically there was a man in Loikawan, where this medic works, that was dying of tuberculosis. He had a granuloma in his bowel. It ruptured his bowel. He became septic. And so they rushed him over to Thailand, but then the only place they could really see him was at the hospital there in Chiang Rai. Because he's coming, he doesn't have any money, he doesn't have anything. So we got very involved in praying for him, and the church was involved in trying to get him going again. He was like a skeleton by the time, because they live with this disease for a long time over there because there's no medical care. And they have no money to do anything with. So if by the time it got critical and life-threatening, he was a stick. I mean, there was nothing to him. You could see his ribs sticking through. I never saw a man so thin. You can see his arms are really thin, but that doesn't really do justice. Last time I was there, though, he came. We were praying with him and telling him about Jesus, and my medic friend said, yeah, he's actually looking kind of fat now. So he's put on weight, he's doing great, but he was really close to death. But that got us into working with them for tuberculosis, which has become a much more common problem in Myanmar with the poverty and the war and the situation over there. They were nailed by the flood last year. They were nailed by an earthquake in Mandalay, which is an upper city this year. And on top of that, they've got bombs. Their own country's bombing them. So it's just a brutal, harsh environment. But God is working. He's still working in those places around the world where there's in some of the darkest places, and he can do a miracle. So that's it as far as an update. I just wanted to let you guys know what's going on. Don't forget to grab your coffee if you'd like some, and let God move your heart wherever you feel He is leading you. But I did want to give it a few minutes if there were any questions, because we've known you guys, some of you, a long time, and just don't get to talk to everyone over here. So if you have any questions, now's the time. Yes. Well, it's Myanmar is a very confusing country because you've got the central military government that there was a coup, actually, the year after we got to Thailand, there was a coup throughout the democratic government. Now it's being controlled by the military, the Tatmadaw. The Tatmadaw only control the major city, Yangon, and some of the border cities because they control the trade. And so that they get military equipment through China and Russia, and they buy it because they have the money to do it. And so they have the military might, but they don't have the people of Myanmar behind it because it's just such a brutal regime. And it's the longest civil war in history. It's been going on forever. And we keep praying for an end to this, but, all in God's timing. We pray for peace. There's a time for war and a time for peace. So in answer to your question, yeah, it's tough. It's tough for the Karen tribes and for the Shan tribes particularly. They're the ones that are targeted by the military government. I would say 70% of the country is owned by the different tribal groups. It's controlled by different tribal groups. So you can't go. I couldn't take a plane and fly to Yangon, which is controlled by the government, the official government, and get to where the people need help, because you have to cross an area that's not controlled by them. So you risk your life. You could get killed basically trying to go from the Myanmar into northern part of Burma, which is another name for Myanmar. So you have to, the only way to provide aid is to cross the border up north from Thailand. And that's where all the aid comes in. So they had this earthquake, and the Mandalay, there were thousands of people that lost their lives. It's just like tragedy upon tragedy because aid can't get in there because there's a war going on. It's not safe to go in there. It's just a really difficult place. But the church is doing work, particularly along the border area. And so it's not hopeless. It's never hopeless with God. But it feels hopeless to a lot of the people. They've been displaced multiple times. They get bombed out of their village, and then they've got to live in the jungle. They put landmines in their rice fields so they can't go back and harvest their rice fields. They kill all the cattle. They've been attacking their civilian population for years. The largest refugee migration in the world is through the Rohingya and moving into Bangladesh. And then Cox's Bazar is the largest refugee camp in the world. And that's all because of the military attacking the Rohingya as well. And that's a Muslim group. So it's not against Christians, it's not against Muslims, it's against these different tribal fiefdoms that and now they want to have a unity government with states, sort of like states like the United States, and so they've formed a parallel government in Myanmar. But ultimately it's still being the military government that controls the central area is still being supported through China and Russia and money. Money is the root of all evil.
What does the Thai government do?
Yeah, they try to maintain friends with everyone because Thailand gets a lot of oil from Burma. So they try to, they have a border and they try to enforce it. And they don't really have a, they're not part of the refugee agreement that most nations are part of. So it can be really hard. It's really hard for people in that country. Thailand?
Thailand or Burma?
No, Thailand is a democratic monarchy, and so it has a king, which has some influence over the military, but the military is very involved in the government there as well. So.
I never, like, spent at least 10 or 15 years on Song Chi, that woman.
Mm-hmm.
That I mm-hmm. What happened, whatever happened there, she was like the hero of the people.
Yeah, she was arrested once she... What happened is they had an election, and the election overwhelmingly wanted the democracy again.
Right.
But the military saw themselves losing control because she was sort of a little bit of a puppet of the military. She had to sort of bend to their knee a little bit to maintain power. And they saw themselves losing power by the general populace. And so she's been under house arrest ever since. They don't want to kill her because they make a martyr out of her.
Yeah.
And so it's just the world's a messed up place, and it needs Jesus. You know, what's the hope? Well, the hope is in Jesus, you know, no matter what your circumstance, you know, secret to contentment, right? Whether rich or poor or whatever situation. So, yeah, just be praying that we'll practice patience and that God will continue and we'll have the health and, Lord willing, be able to go back in October and continue on. Until then, I go back every year to stay in touch with the ministries, and we stay in communication with them. So.
Just one more. You're up in that Golden Triangle, which is a opium. What's happening with anything there? I mean, poppy seed, opium.
Yeah, it's a good question. Most of the opium fields, there's still some up there, but most have been replaced by coffee, another good reason to encourage coffee growing in that region. And a lot of it's what happens in any country that's in that type of turmoil and poverty level. It was already a poor country, Myanmar was, and now it's become even worse since the civil war and all the other, the earthquake and the flooding. So now there's a lot of methamphetamines that are traveled through that area. But most of it's coming through Myanmar, and the Thai government tries to control it, but it goes through Thailand a lot of times into Myanmar.
Is Laos pretty close, or is that a little further
along? No, it's pretty close too. It's like they all come together there. Laos is another extremely impoverished country. It's mostly owned by China now. China has bought most of the, they have a 20-year purchase on the roads and on the whole. There's the Golden Triangle area, when you look at it today, is casinos and illegal trade. You can look across from the Golden Triangle area from the Thailand side, you can look across the Mekong River and you can see all these casinos, towers. And so there's a lot of human trafficking, there's a lot of drugs, there's a lot of illegal wildlife trade and stuff that takes place amongst this area that's basically controlled by it has its own government within that area. It's not even controlled by the government of Laos. It's controlled by the Chinese mobs, essentially. So it can be a dangerous place, but it's such a great place of need, because anytime there's poverty, there's people that are very, they're just prone to things like human trafficking. They're prone to those types of darker things. And so, be praying for that. And a lot of these children, some have come across the border with no parent. Some have come out of situations where, the mother was, enticed into human trafficking as well. So it can be a really difficult place to have ministry, but God can also use it in mighty ways. He really does. Yes, Tim. Yeah, no, it's Buddhist. In Thailand, to be Thai is to be Buddhist. It's so linked to their culture. But it's not Buddhism like we think of Buddhism. And in the U.S., they think of Buddhism as, you know, this peace thing. There, it's more of a tribal Buddhism, so it's mixed with animism. It's mixed with, you know, fear, a great fear of evil spirits, a bit of Taoism, where they worshiping ancestors and that sort of thing. And so, but, you know, that it's changing, especially in the north, especially amongst the tribal groups. So it's God is working, but no. Thailand is, yeah. A lot of people are in Thailand that used to be in China because they got booted out of China. China can be a really tough place for a missionary to serve. You know, you come back on leave and they don't let you go back in the country. And in Laos, there's serious persecution if you're a Christian as well. They won't kill you if you know, typically if you're a missionary in Laos, but they'll kick you out of the country and they'll persecute everyone that you were associated with that was Lao. So you have to be very careful in how you serve there, because you don't want to put your friends at risk. You know, the nationals that are also Christians. It's generally considered a Buddhist country, but you'll see there are Muslims in the south, in southern Thailand. We were surprised. We went to Krabi for a little trip once as a family vacation, and that's down near Phuket, and it's mostly Muslim down in that area. But generally, the majority of Thailand is Buddhist. And then in... No, generally not. There's no violence as far as their faith. Yeah, no, there's no jihad or anything like that. That's the Middle East. That's different. But no, Thailand's a fairly safe place. But the countries around it can be really difficult. So we chose Thailand because it was a place where we could raise our kids. And still serve in those countries around it. So Thailand is a very unique place in Southeast Asia for Christianity to grow and to reach into these other countries. So Ban Emmanuel has missionaries in China. We've got missionaries in Vietnam. We've got missionaries in Laos and Burma. So throughout the Southeast Asia region. That little ministry that started out with just a single children's home has blossomed into many different facets. And you can, if you get on the internet, you can look up Ban Emmanuel, and they have a newsletter which gives you a lot of information about each of these different children's homes and the outreaches that they have. And some of the things we can't put into the newsletter, obviously, for security reasons. It's God's working. Don't let it fool you. It's just amazing. So praise God. Let me close. Father God, I do want to thank you. I thank you for bringing us back to this flock on the rock. I thank you for your great love. Thank you for your love for Pastor Go and for Pastor Ron and for Shalom and Anna and Artie and Mint and Hannah and Jordan and just all these people that you have just brought across our paths as we've just taken that first step and followed you. So, Lord, I thank you for your leading. I ask that you continue to lead us. I pray, Lord God, for this church. I pray for that they will never leave their first love, that their heart for you and for your word will grow. And I just thank you. Thank you for the blessings of this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to have the family here. Would you please stand?
Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me.
The Lord today? It has been. And if you don't have anywhere to go, please accept the invitation. We have a fellowship afterwards. We have plenty of food, and we just want you to join us, and if you haven't met Stephen Kelly, sit down beside him across the table, ask him some questions, introduce yourself, or just get to know us, and enjoy some time with us. When I close in prayer, we're going to be dismissed for our fellowship time, if you can stay with us. Father, I thank you so much for this day, for your greatness, your goodness. Certainly our hearts do cry out, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is in within me. We bless your holy name. Father, we are so grateful for the message of freedom that comes to all through the gospel, that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of all our lives. Father, help us and bless us today. Bless our fellowship time and the meal afterwards. Bless our going, Father, in our day ahead, whatever, wherever you take our feet, whatever you use us for. Lord, we just want to be your missionaries. We want to be your hands, your feet. We want to share the love of Jesus and share that hope that's in us, as 1 Peter talks about. So, Father, bless us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Amen.